Hear these words from Matthew 13, the parable of the weeds, verses 24 through 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these parables. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking into our hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would anoint us this morning, that we can hear clearly and see clearly the things that you want us to learn. Bless our time here, Lord, as we open your word, as we dig into it. Fill each of our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. I am not, nor would I ever claim to be, a great gardener. I am certain some here this morning could make that claim. I have been around agriculture my entire life and have witnessed many different growing seasons, which some have been great and some not so much. In this immediate area, we have had a good weather season for growing plants and crops. As we value rain and sunshine to feed our plants and crops, it takes more than great weather to be successful in achieving great results. From year to year, we witness crops or gardens that look really good, as well as some that perhaps don't look so great. There's a variety of soil types in our area which can have a direct impact on plant growth, and soil testing is another way to determine what may be needed in the soil for a particular plant to be best nurtured. Other conditions can directly affect plant growth and make it more challenging to grow a healthy crop. One of those things we address this morning is in this passage before us: weeds. It's always amazed me from little on how weeds will grow in the most challenging conditions. It can be too wet or too dry or someplace where no sunlight reaches, and yet you will still find weeds. I've even witnessed weeds growing out of cracks in a blacktop or cement, which brings up the question, where do these weeds come from? Many would agree that if we could get plants to grow like weeds, we would have an abundant crop every year. Weeds seem to grow fast and show up out of nowhere. Some weeds can be seen along ditch lines or in pastures where crops are not affected by them, and they can even be a good source for birds to nest in or eat seeds off from. Even bees and insects may benefit from certain weeds, but from a plant-producing perspective, we see weeds as unwanted, evil realities that we must deal with if we are going to have a productive growing food. In this parable from Matthew 13, we see Jesus using images from agriculture, which the people around him would instantly recognize. We immediately see in this parable the work of the enemy. Jesus' work, Jesus' disciples, and Jesus' kingdom exist in a world which is under attack from Satan. Satan won't allow the good work of Jesus to go unopposed. It seems that Satan's goals are to corrupt, pollute, and undermine the work of Jesus. Satan uses blatant attacks as well as times where he prowls around in the dark. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Jesus is aware that his kingdom will face corruption from the evil one, so we must be ready as well. We do have a garden on our property. There are some weeds in it. Actually, when I wrote that, I should have wrote, "We have a lot of weeds in it." It seems at times almost impossible to keep up with these fast-growing weeds as they compete with the plants right from the start. A couple areas in the garden got out of control, and one morning I was pulling weeds from our potato patch, and I came quickly to realize that I needed to be very careful not to pull out the potato plants, as they were completely camouflaged by pig weeds that had grown up with them. I could barely tell them apart. These pig weeds looked so much at certain stages, like the potato plant, that you could easily pull out the wrong one, and I even did that with one before I realized it. I confess that to my family right now. This early morning experience in our garden led me to a passage we're looking at this morning. As Jesus brings this parable to us as a teaching tool to apply to our lives, his followers. You see, I went to the garden to pull out weeds. For the cold water. I went to the garden to pull weeds, and I came out of the garden with a sermon on my heart. An interesting and very important side note in this message. I'm going to take a little field trip here with you. God's ways or his plans don't always line up with our agenda. And if we are quiet enough, perhaps the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us as we listen. It makes me wonder how many things I've missed out on. Because so many times I don't cultivate an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work effectively. I have a hat that I wear, and on it, it has the scripture from Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Are we quiet enough to hear him speak? Are we reading God's word? The Holy Spirit illuminates God's word. The Holy Spirit applies his word to our hearts. The Holy Spirit magnifies the grace of Christ. This time alone in the garden reminded me of a hymn written many years ago by C. Austin Miles. It's entitled, "In the Garden." I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear, falling on my ear, the the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through his voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Do you recall the last time you heard God's voice? Do you cultivate an atmosphere where you're able to hear him speak to you? Do you have a quiet place where you can be alone with God? Do you read the Bible? Do you spend time in prayer? My dad was 85 years old. His health was failing. His mind was weakening, and much of the time he was confused. As a result of many health issues, his driver's license was taken away from him after 72 years. The minivan that he used to transport people to various appointments was now in my possession. And the place where it had always been parked in the back shed was now empty. One particular afternoon, as I pulled up to the back shed, I could see the overhead door open, and the place where his van used to be parked had a chair sitting there, and Dad was in the chair with his Bible open. His head bowed down. In what appeared to be his quiet place. I now regret not taking a picture of this, as at the time he had no idea I was there. This mental picture will forever be a reminder to me of the importance to make time alone with God. As I recall that memory from time to time, I ask myself, what memories will stand out in the minds of my family? I'm fearful they will see only memories of my iPhone or the TV remote. We can come up with many excuses, but the fact is, others are watching us. And we are accountable to make good use of the time our Heavenly Father gives us on this earth. In our passage today, we read about these weeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. The farmer did not plant the weeds. I am confident he had good soil and had prepared the soil to receive the seeds, and he was expecting good results. We planted good seeds in our garden also. If you read the labels on the seed packets, they show information like pure seed or certified seed, no weed seed. So where do the weeds come from? It seems like they just magically show up. Things I've observed over the many years being around agriculture and witnessing the spring planting and growing season is this. Weeds will show up. Weeds seem to grow in hot or cold weather. Weeds grow fast and they mature quickly. Weeds can often look like other plants, making it difficult at times to determine which plant is the real weed. Weeds don't need good, fertile soil to grow. Most weeds do not have a great aroma. Weeds reduce moisture in the soil. Some weeds can be harmful to animals and people. You get the picture. If you're allergic to poison ivy, you know all well about weeds. In our parable today, we see this weed being sown in amongst the wheat by an enemy. The sower had sown good seed, hoping for a great harvest. An enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. When the wheat came up, so did the weeds. When the weeds are first noticed by the workers, their first thought is directed to the seed that the owner planted. We see in verse 27, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field?" When the workers hear their master say the weeds were sown by the enemy, they were very aggressive toward making a plan to rid the field of these counterfeit plants. He orders them to let the weeds grow until harvest. Then his reapers will separate and burn the weeds. In the agriculture society of Christ's time, many farmers depended on the quality of their crops. An enemy sowing weeds would have sabotaged a business. The tares in this parable were most likely darnel, which is a weed that until mature very closely resembles wheat. I did some research on this darnel plant and actually found some on my property. In one of the types pointed out in my research, this darnel plant looks relatively close, so I brought some. This is a type of darnel. There's several types, and it's maturing already. The wheat back then probably was not sown into soil quite as fertile as we have today, so you would look at this and say, well, this doesn't resemble the wheat we have today, but actually back then it was probably very close because the stems are thick and the seeds look quite a bit like wheat. So I'm assuming this is somewhat close to what this parable is talking about. This farmer back then did not have access to modern weed killers like we have currently, so he had a dilemma on his hands. Instead of taking a risk at harming the wheat crop, if he allowed his workers to pull the weeds, he wisely chose to wait till harvest to deal with this matter. And even though this morning I have put so much emphasis on weeds and gardening, this parable really isn't about weeds. Jesus is clear to his disciples the meaning of what this parable represents. If you turn your Bibles down in the same chapter, Matthew 13, Jesus explains what this parable means. The one who sows the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest represents the end of the age. Satan is unable to uproot true followers of Christ, so he plants counterfeit Christians in their midst. Christ is sowing true believers that they may bear fruit. John 12, verses 23 through 26, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and wherever I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Satan also has counterfeit Christians. The Apostle Paul gives us a review of this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. "I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false brothers. Counterfeit Christians believe a counterfeit gospel. Hear these words again written from Paul, from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Satan encourages counterfeit righteousness, counterfeit church, and at the end of the age, he will produce a counterfeit Christ. As Christ followers, we must be alert. When God's people get lazy or fall asleep, then Satan gets busy sowing his lies. We must sow the word of God and bear fruit in the places he has planted for us. It may be difficult to tell false from truth at times, but in the end of the age, God will separate the weeds from the wheat and burn them in the everlasting fire. This parable is fitting, as we have experienced many weeds sown over the past couple years. What is true? What is not true? Some have taken what we think is right and made it wrong, as well as the other way around. I have even witnessed those who say God's word supports abortion. It's almost to the point where nothing could surprise me anymore, because there's no shock value left. As followers of Christ, our job is not to separate the weeds from the wheat. Yes, we are to be careful in discerning truth from falsehood, and yes, we are to hold one another accountable as we live out our faith. But we are to be humble and gracious, especially with those whom we may disagree. God knows the deepest thoughts and hearts of every person here. God will not tolerate evil, but it's in his time, not ours. We are to plant seeds where he has placed us and allow him to do his work. Be grateful for who you are in Christ. Look at your own garden to see if there might be some weeds that need to be pulled out. Celebrate the greatness of God's goodness and enjoy the freedom we have in Christ. There is much to learn from today's passage as we pay attention to his words before us. I believe at times we tend to overcomplicate his word. In review of this parable, we are to identify the weeds in our lives that need to be dealt with. Practice good gardening skills in your own personal life by feeding and cultivating the good practices in your life and starve out the habits that should not be tolerated as followers of Jesus Christ. As we rid our lives of these weeds, we will open up opportunity for fertile plant growth. Create quiet time to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Learn to be a good listener. As elders at New Hope here, we pray for you. We gather on Sunday mornings and pray. We meet once a month. The meetings get long and tiring, but at those meetings, we identify things that we need to take care of. We pray for you. And I believe on behalf of the elders that this challenge this morning that I'm about to give you is appropriate. If you're not spending time in the Word, and if you're not spending time in prayer, please cut out some news time. I see no value in the news. I quit watching all news 2 years ago. A recent survey taken very recently shows that 33% of Americans are unhappy. God does not promise us as his followers to be happy Christians. But I can guarantee you, if you spend less time watching the news and more time reading the Bible and praying, you will be a happier person. Try it. You might like it. Do you need some help? Do you need some encouragement? Seek out accountability partner so that you can trust them and help them help you grow in your mature in your journey with Jesus. Accountability partners are important. You think you can do it on your own, especially if you're a male, especially if you have mechanical skills, but you can't. You can't do it alone. Never forget the love of Jesus as he pours out his mercy and grace and forgiveness that we may experience the abundant life. I love these verses from Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bob Petz will be up here after the service, and I'm going to stay up here also if you would like prayer. Please take these words to heart this morning from this parable. Please bow with me. Dear Jesus, as you sow your truth generously into our lives, we pray that you will defend us from the evil one who seeks to snatch us away. Uphold us during difficult times so that we may endure. Deliver us from distractions and worldly desires and weeds that choke us with false promises. Till us, turn us, enrich us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be good soil, forever faithful and fruitful for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.